conversations regarding the end of life aren't comfortable, and they are not a topic so many of us want to even touch. There are people in our community who have to have those conversations regularly and still provide care to those who may be dying. I'm talking about doctors, oncologists to be more specific. They are the physicians who treat patients dealing with cancer. Recently, Dr. Dan Zuckerman, medical director of St. Luke's Mountain States Tumor Institute, wrote a moving and emotional piece about what he's learned about patient care and the fact that it goes way beyond the actual medical care. Dr. Zuckerman is joining me live in studio to talk more about this. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Gemma.
I read the article, so full disclosure, and I have to tell you, not a dry eye when I got finished reading it. It was raw and it was real. What made you decide to really get, I think, personal about this topic?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I guess, on one level, as the director of the Cancer Center, part of my job is to support and provide resources for my colleagues to take care of patients as well. So I see patients half the time, and I have my administrative role. And I guess one of the things that's, weighs on me is not just the patients I take care of, but working with my colleagues and seeing how hard it is for all of us to take care of patients who are sick, who may be dying. And I guess, fundamentally, part of writing the article was I thought it might be useful to show that that we're not all perfect, that none of us are perfect, mm-hmm. and that I make mistakes, that there are things that I've done and in patient care where I wish I said something differently or did something differently, and that I thought it would be right to show that.
And I think what was interesting in the article is you talked about what you learned in medical school, right? So it's like, you learn everything you need to learn to be a doctor,
yeah.
Which is great.
Right.
But there's this whole other aspect, and that's like the human element.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And and my background actually as an undergrad, I majored in history, and I'd actually done a lot of writing in college and paid attention to language and the idea that words matter. But yes, in medical school, you learn a lot of science. And it's not that they don't talk about it. We know we're taking care of human beings. And so there is, it's talked about that we're here to take care of fellow human beings, but it's so superficial and it's such a small part, at least of the curriculum. I'm 20 years out of medical school, at least a part of the curriculum back then. That you really, it's something that I think for all of us that you know about it and you know that these are the things that matter for people that you're taking care of, but it's not really until you're in the mm-hmm. thick of it and actually doing it that you can begin to learn and try and make things better each time you take care of people.
And in the article, you talk about how words really matter. And I know we hear that a lot, but when you are in the midst of working with patients who may end up dying, words definitely matter at that point. And in the article, you write about a 36-year-old man who you took care of. Tell us about that story for people who haven't read this article.
Yeah, no, it's just, I take care of a lot of people, and it's just a patient that stuck with me over the years. And I think part of it is we connected because, at the time, we were very similar ages. This was a guy who lived by himself, was very close to his mother, read a ton, and he had a really awful leukemia. And he did well for perhaps a year, and then things weren't going so well. The cancer was becoming resistant to treatment. But I just loved every time he came in. I'd see him almost weekly, and he would bring in a new book. And he was just such a voracious reader. And it was just someone for whom I knew that words mattered, that language mm-hmm. mattered. And we'd talk about books. We'd share each other's favorite authors. And felt a particular closeness to this patient. And towards the very end of his life, as we came closer to having these difficult conversations about him wanting to know more time and really having a better understanding of his prognosis, it was really one of our last visits together. And he wanted to know, and I told him about how much time he might have left or not, and it was a really tough visit, really, really tough visit, and I thought it went as well as it could. And, many months later, I got a letter from his mom, and it was the sweetest, most humble letter, but it did say, tell me how she was upset with me, that the day that I saw him happened to be his birthday, and I hadn't noted that. And how that after I just had this very difficult conversation with him, he'd been withdrawn and upset, and she was really hoping to take him out for a birthday dinner, and that didn't happen. And she felt that I was, and of course I was responsible in the sense that I had seen him that day and had an impact on him, and we discussed these things. And in all honesty, I'm not sure what could have changed or what mm-hmm. I might have done differently, but it certainly felt like something should have been done differently. That I had noted it was birthday, might have couched my tone differently, might have changed something in a way that he wasn't so down. And I can't go back and I can't change that. But I thought, to me, it was partly that I was so close to the patient. It was partly that these are difficult conversations that me and my colleagues have all the time. But that it was instructive. I think it was hard to read that letter, I'll be very honest. But I wanted to, frankly, share it because I think what I went through, all of my colleagues go through at some point, and I wanted them to, and everyone to see that these are hard things, and we often don't do them perfectly.
And that's the thing, is that you're human.
Yeah.
But what did you learn from that experience? Because it has to have made an impact enough that you remember it years later.
Yeah.
That you go back to it.
I do. Well, it's, you know, it's such a simple thing. We get the patient's chart, and quite honestly, it has their birthday on it. Mm. It's just something that we're moving so quickly, and we come right in and we start talking. And so a very small change I've made is being much more mindful of trying to look, if it is someone's birthday, that I make note of that. And I ask my nurse to prompt me to make note of it. But it's in the larger sense that, yes, there's a lot of science. There's a lot of complicated genetics, pharmacology, a lot of things that we do that are, like you had mentioned earlier, just sort of straight science, mm-hmm. the medicine, but that frankly, the most important part of what we do is just connecting with another person who's hurting and who's in a bad spot, and we're trying to bring science to bear to help them. But that if we don't have that connection, if we're not really caring for them and being mindful of mm-hmm. how we treat people and what we say to them, then frankly, the science doesn't matter.
Right. I'm speaking with Dr. Dan Zuckerman, medical director of MISTI in Boise, and talking about how being a doctor has really changed you and how you interact. And what's interesting to me as well, you wrote, is not only do words matter, but you say people can go back to things that stick with them forever.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that a lot, and it's always surprising because we have so many conversations with patients, and sometimes we'll see people 30, 40, 80 times in the course of taking care of them and before they may reach the end of life. And I'm no longer shocked by it, but the first couple times it happened, it was just remarkable how people go back and replay, especially at the beginning of the diagnosis and the things that led up to it, and sometimes hang on a word in the article I write about. And I think we no longer use that, but it was very common to use this term salvage chemotherapy.
I had never heard of
that. Yeah, and it's one of those things that you learn and they teach you as a medical oncologist that you don't even necessarily pay attention to mm-hmm. when you're a trainee. And I had dropped that term a few times with patients, and there was a particular patient who, in this case, when I write about it, you know, he brought it up in a pretty humorous way about how I had said it. I don't even remember saying it, and how he had always thought of himself as just sort of. He said to me, you know, I just a piece of junk, and he laughed about it. And I thought he was being very generous to me, but it reminded me that, you know, sometimes we can say things in even an innocent way, in a well and meaning mm-hmm. way, or sometimes just not a particularly thoughtful way, but patients hang on to this. And I, you know, especially in this era, I think words get tossed around pretty mm-hmm. carelessly at times. And this is just, I'm actually pretty proud that me and my colleagues that take care of people, we live in an environment where we don't have that luxury. We shouldn't, and we shouldn't be allowed that luxury.
You know, it's one of the things I try to teach my kids, and sometimes I'm good at it, and sometimes I'm bad, is I say, you know, I believe that most people's intentionality is always good.
Yeah.
It's the execution that can frankly suck, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, I think we all go into that patient's room and we want to do the best for them and for their family. And yeah, we're human. And sometimes we stumble across our words. Sometimes we beat around the bush. Sometimes, you know, you use the wrong tone. These are small and sometimes subtle things, but they're actually quite immense.
Have you seen changes within the medical profession in the 20 years you've been out of medical school? I mean, is there more mindfulness when it comes to what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good thing. And I, again, it's been 20 years since I've been out of medical school, but I think that rightfully in the curricula that are out in medical schools now, people pay attention to it. And it's, for some people, it's innate. And obviously, we know people are just, some people have an easier time talking to people. Mm-hmm. But for even those doctors who don't, there are things that people can learn, simple, specific things that are taught, like always being at eye level. You know, when you come into a room, particularly if a patient's hospitalized, teaching you to sit down and be at eye level or below eye level with patients, to actually move to the side of the bed so that when the patient looks at you, the door is not behind your shoulder. There's actually a very fascinating study that was done with medical students where they basically had medical student trainees come in with patient actors to gauge patient's perception of how much time the doctor spent with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would, and this patient, the doctors would be, doctor trainees would be seated in every episode. But and the only thing they changed was whether the chair was positioned such that the patient looked at the doctor over his or her shoulder towards the door, or this chair was on the other side of the bed so that the patient couldn't see the door. And in every episode, they spent 5 minutes with the patients, but on every scenario where patients looked at their doctor and they were not looking at the door, they perceived the doctors to be spending more time with them. And it's, you know, these are somewhat tactical things, but they're important.
But they're meaningful.
They're meaningful. They mean, yes, they absolutely mean something. I think if there's small changes we can make in the way that we treat people and care for them that make the experience better, then there are things that we should be doing. So, yeah, to answer your question, fortunately, I think more and more medical school curricula are paying attention to the humanistic aspect of medicine.
What do you hope that, you know, the general public takes away from, if they've had an opportunity to read the article, and even if they haven't, you know, from what you wrote? Because it's very poignant. I mean, it's very raw and very real about what you do on a daily basis.
Yeah, I guess that nothing more than we're fellow humans trying to take care of our fellow humans in the sense that we're fallible. And I think that everybody, or often people go to their doctor and there's, a too generous assumption that we're supposed to know everything,
right.
We're perfect in
right.
everything.
Right.
And I think that's what I'd want people to come away. And I think, you know, frankly, the vast majority of people already know this. It's just giving the friendly reminder that not to accept, shoddy care, but just to know that there are times when we aren't perfect and that we, frankly, suffer alongside with our patients. Mm. And that's part of our job to do. And it's part of why this is, you know, still, fortunately, as much a calling as a job. So.
Well, I appreciate the article, and I always appreciate you coming in. My guest today, Dr. Dan Zuckerman, the medical director for Mountain States Tumor Institute.